Regarding the U.S. Constitution, the framers worked to define its various ideas and elements as best as possible. Their original intent can be realized in the words of the document, along with the numerous notes and letters that the framers addressed their work through. Additionally, numerous times over the years, the U.S. Supreme Court reinforced the Constitution when it was being challenged. This past week, Trump administration took aim at the idea of birthright citizenship, which is established by the 14th Amendment. This is certainly not the first time the U.S. Supreme Court has been called on to examine immigration and citizenship issues. Joining us to take a look at how the two sides presented their respective cases and whether legal history supports either is Vice President of Legal Affairs with the Landmark Legal Foundation, Michael O'Neill. How are you today, Michael?
I'm good, Chris. Good to be with you.
Good to be talking with you again, too. LandmarkLegal.org is the website. Starting as a foundation for you, the listener, let me read you Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privilege or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of the life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. So that's the foundation we're working with here. What was the case that the Trump administration is making? It seems like they're hanging on the phrase subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
Right. President Trump issued an executive order interpreting the birthright citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment, which you just specified, as to meaning more than subject to the jurisdiction thereof means more than mere territorial presence. And now the common interpretation of that provision, again, subject to the born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, the common interpretation of that for the past 70 or so years, at least since we've had the advent of all of the immigration, has been that anybody who's born within the territorial confines, territorial jurisdiction of the United States is conveyed automatic birthright citizenship. Simply being born here makes you a citizen. Now, they are challenging that interpretation, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And that's what a lot of the arguments focused on earlier this week is, what does that mean? And so how do you try to understand what is subject to the jurisdiction thereof mean? Well, the court tried to, you stand in the shoes of the individuals, the ratifiers and the drafters of that provision of the 14th Amendment. You start with, well, what was the time frame where the 14th Amendment was ratified? Well, you're talking about, this is post-Civil War. This is the Reconstruction era. So the first thing you derive from that is, well, this was passed post-slavery, right? The 13th Amendment outlawed slavery, and the 14th Amendment wanted, what was the goal of this? Who is this to apply to? And I think you could start with the argument that this was originally, the drafters never considered immigrants, right? That wasn't something on their mind. What was forefront of their mind? Well, that was the children, former slaves and their children and their descendants. They didn't want to see efforts by recently readmitted or in the process of readmitted states making efforts to denaturalize those individuals who were former slaves or their children. So the application, of course, was for former slaves. It was never intended originally to apply to immigrants. And I think that's where you start with. But a lot of the arguments centered on that term. What does subject to the jurisdiction thereof mean?
Now, just hypothetically, if the Supreme Court were to agree with that, would that not mean they were disagreeing with the 1898 decision, U.S. versus Wong Kim Ark, which the Supreme Court then said a child born in the U.S. to non-citizen parents was a U.S. citizen under the 14th Amendment?
Right. That's a fantastic question. There was a lot of discussion about the applicability and what exactly Wong Kim Ark means. And if you listen to oral arguments or read the transcript, there was really an in-depth analysis of that case. And you can read, it's funny when you read these cases 100 years, 130 years after the fact, is you read it and you try to, if you're an advocate and it's against you, you try to find how you could interpret the case to maybe be beneficial to you. And I think the Solicitor General took that to heart and noted that there's an extensive discussion, and actually the issue in front of the court and what they were called upon to decide was whether a domiciliary, and this is somebody who was if you think about it, you could distinguish the case, or you can use the case to help you, or you can find language that helps you, or you can just offer the argument that it was wrongly decided. I think here the Solicitor General said, look, number one, the child in Wong Kim Ark, who was found to have birthright citizenship, a right to it, was here legally, right? His parents were here legally. And also, he was a domiciliary, and that was an issue that came up repeatedly in Wong Kim Ark, whether you had to be have a domicile in the United States to establish jurisdiction. And that, I think they said the word domicile comes up about 22 times in the opinion here. So I think what the Solicitor General was kind of hanging on with regards to finding support from Wong Kim Ark was the simple fact that the court assumed that a domiciliary, somebody who was a domicile who made their residence in the United States, was subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And you could distinguish that from the executive order, where you're talking about people who are here illegally and who might simply cross the border to have a child. You're talking about anchor babies, or you're talking about birth tourism. There's no establishment of that domicile. Therefore, there's no establishment of jurisdiction. So that's a jump that the court was actually, that the Solicitor General was asking the court to make. But I think they were taking Wong Kim Ark, the case you mentioned, Chris, head on and trying to say, hey, look, rather than interpreting this to hurt us, you can actually interpret this in a manner that actually helps the president's arguments.
While the Solicitor General of the Trump administration wants to expand the limitations of the 14th Amendment, doesn't the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof automatically set the bar for limitations of the 14th Amendment, primarily residents of any Native American under the reservation laws? Diplomats come to mind, too.
Yeah, exactly. What you're saying there is, and that goes back to the time of the enactment of the ratification and the enactment of the 14th Amendment, is that the drafters carved out exceptions, and they knew that that this wasn't an all-encompassing right to convey to anyone and everyone, and so they knew that there were limitations in place here. That means they never meant that subject to the jurisdiction thereof encompassed every person who was born in the United States. You know, obviously, you're talking about individuals who are Native Americans at the time, and then you're talking about children of diplomats. So that was kind of used, and Justice Thomas explored that a little bit. Well, what was the common thread of those exceptions? Well, they all lacked the domicile effort. So that was kind of what we were talking about. So therefore, you could say, again, we're talking about, you know, what are we trying to do? What was the court trying to do here? What is the court trying to do? It's trying to discern the best meaning of subject to the jurisdiction thereof. One other thing that I don't know if it was discussed yesterday, one other interesting thing is you read the entire Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. There's another part in there, you said, regarding equal protection and due process rights is extended to individuals, people, persons who are within the jurisdiction. So look at that. So you actually see within the 14th Amendment, you see two terms. You see subject to the jurisdiction, and you actually also see within the jurisdiction. I think you can make an argument that within the jurisdiction is territorial presence, because within, I think that's clear what that means. So anybody within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States is within the jurisdiction. And you could say, well, why are there two different words mean? You know, if the drafters wanted to use within the jurisdiction earlier in the 14th Amendment, i.e. in the birthright citizenship clause, in the citizenship clause, they could have said within the jurisdiction. Instead, they used subject to the jurisdiction. I know this is a lot of lawyery talk about here, but words have meanings, and that's what we're trying to get at. What is the meaning of the term subject to the jurisdiction? So there's a little bit of textual support for the interpretation of the president. Now, let me be clear here. I don't think that there are, a lot of commentators are making this case, and it's probably something you haven't already heard, but it's very skeptical. The general takeaway was the court was probably skeptical about the authority of the president to do this. And I think that at some point, the odds certainly are in favor of those who are challenging this executive order. In other words, there's a fairly decent chance, a fairly large chance, honestly, that the president loses. Now, the degree which he loses is something that remains to be seen about how the court crafts its opinion. But let me be clear, you know, I'm making a lot of good cases for why Donald Trump and the Trump administration should win. There were a lot of arguments that were proffered on the other side that were saying why he should lose. And I think the court might have been more, a majority of the justices might have been more amenable to some of those arguments.
And certainly the court, as well as the opponents of what the Trump administration is trying to do here, they can, along with the Constitution, if they want to further their argument, they have the Immigration Nationality Act of 1952, which just reinforces the narrow exceptions of the 14th Amendment versus trying to expand the limitations of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, let me talk about the implications there, because I think this is probably an interesting take on this. Now, there's when I talk about losses, there's degrees of loss here that we're talking about. And there's also degrees of victory. Now, if the court engages in a constitutional analysis and simply concludes, now that's a high stakes, right? If the Supreme Court is saying that the 14th Amendment conveys a birthright citizenship, in other words, a right to citizenship by virtue of your territorial birth in the United States. If they find that that's a right, that right is enshrined within the 14th Amendment, just like our right to free speech is enshrined in the First Amendment. That means if you're going to pass, you can't, any law that contradicts that, you know, seeks to limit that right is unconstitutional. And the only way to amend it is by constitutional amendment. Now, if the court simply limits its analysis to the law, and you just posited the laws, the INA of 1940 and 1952, which even though the language largely mirrors it, if the court simply says, and they don't get into a constitutional analysis, if they simply limit their analysis to the law, and how does the court do that? Well, they say, okay, well, the intent of the Congress in 1952 was that this applies to anybody born here. We're not going to get into what they meant with the 14th Amendment. We're just going to simply say the executive order is contrary to the law, i.e. the INA that you just talked about, and the president's executive order is vacated, is null and void. So they throw that out. But what does that do? That preserves a political resolution of this. In other words, Congress passed a law in 1952, as you just said, Chris. They can pass a law in 2027 saying that birth tourism is illegal. And so there is that preservation. So what happens here is we're talking about high stakes here. We're talking about stakes. The stakes are if there's a constitutional analysis and a constitutional decision, a majority of the justices determine that, the only way to make any change after that interpretation is via constitutional amendment. If they only rule on the law, then you have the political branches that can make a change. Now, again, we're talking. I'm aware of Congress and how inept they are. But the court can kind of wash its hands and say, hey, look, we preserve the political process here. If the political branches want to solve this problem, then it's their problem that they can solve. And so we're only going to rule on the law on this. We're going to utilize what is known as the canon of constitutional avoidance and not get into saying what the 14th Amendment means. Now, again, Trump could win huge, right? He could say, no, subject to the jurisdiction thereof means this is limited. And Trump's executive order is consistent with that. He could win big, but he could also lose big, or he could lose little, or win little. You see what I'm saying? It's complicated, it. Yeah. But it's important to understand these distinctions.
And plus the implications of whatever the ruling happens to be, there still could be a path into what the goal of the executive order was. We have to wrap up here, but the expected ruling is going to be sometime toward the end of June, if you want to keep an eye out for that. Learn more about this issue and other legal issues of the Landmark Legal Foundation's focus, landmarklegal.org. Here's the Vice President of Legal Affairs, Michael O'Neill. Michael, thank you for the insight, the education today. Always appreciate it.
Take care, Chris. Have a great day.